Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All right, everybody, it is the end of the week, and you know what that means on Political Coffee. It means you get to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about politically, because it's Freedom Friday, and it's really easy. You pick up the phone and give us a call, 503-589-1220. That's the power of Buick GMC Talk Line, 503-589-1220. By the way, we now have five phone lines. That's right. So today being Freedom Friday, it's the free-for-all. You can call and talk about anything political you want to talk about, and you can get started early and easily. And you will actually get your phone answered when you call, because we have five phone lines now. And it's maybe, just maybe, I have another great opportunity for you to call. And we'll talk about that. I'm just teasing you a little bit here. It's going to be great. Again, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Today, what do you want to talk about? It's really easy. At the bottom of this hour, Michael Cross joins us. He was the chief petitioner in one of the Kate Brown recall petitions, Flush Down Kate Brown. He's going to join us at that time. And we'll talk about his latest attempt at exposing voter fraud. We'll get into that. Oregon Watchdog has some interesting things. Go to OregonWatchdog.com today. The Oregon legislature began yesterday. Now, I was there yesterday along with a few of you, including Rich, who, by the way, did the research on how, at least apparently from a first look, House Bill 2238 here in Oregon, it conflicts with federal firearm law. Because it says, 2238 here in Oregon basically says that Kate Brown, in any emergency or after an emergency, can confiscate your property just temporarily, including personal property. That flies in the fact of the Stafford Act. And that's what Rich provided for me yesterday. And I think he's right. I think this will need to be challenged immediately in federal court, as it should be. Now, yesterday, by the way, when we were hanging around at the Capitol, you may have seen my Facebook page, because I put a picture of myself standing with Mark Cosby from Marcola and a few of the rest of you. Thank you all for coming down and hanging out with us for a couple of hours. We were there till about noon or so. And anyway, I had a paper bag over my head. And I got a lot of comments on my Facebook page about that. And I did that for a reason. It's just simply this. I'm poking fun at a bunch of fearful patriots out there that have gone underground all of a sudden. Now, strategically, it's not necessarily a bad idea, because of all of the hypersensitivity. I mean, look, they're still... You know, what we've seen all over social media is thousands of these National Guardsmen still stuck in D.C. because a Democrat congressman saw one of them without a mask, raised hell about it. They all got kicked out of the Senate and down to the parking garage to sleep in an unheated parking garage with one bathroom. It's ludicrous, folks. This is what the Democrats think of the military and the National Guard. Well, so ludicrous that apparently they're showing pictures of it right now. So ludicrous that the governor of Texas said, I'm done. He's calling home his National Guard troops. By the way, why are they still even there? This big threat? Nobody's shown up. We had, what, 8 or 9 people yesterday at our highest level who showed up at Oregon? In front of the Capitol with us, where I'm wearing the paper bag. We did have a Salem reporter there. I haven't seen a story about there, but That Coin 6 came down and shot some B-roll footage, I think. They didn't bother to come over and interview us because they weren't apparently interested in what we were protesting over. But later in the day after I left, a guy that I know, and this is in the Statesman Journal today, pirate Richard Bratz. He has a service dog. He is a disabled veteran. Very passionate. I know him because he joined some out of Springfield. He is in the Eugene area. Anyway, he came up to the Capitol. He got arrested. He got arrested because he was identified as one of the people that breached the Capitol in the state of Oregon. Okay. Now another guy got arrested who was apparently out spray painting a restaurant. This was a rally that it was to come mourn with us for our country protest. And it was apparently because protesting the DA of Marion County, because apparently the Antifa people have been arrested and let out, but other patriots who have stood for things we believe in apparently haven't been. So that's what that was all about yesterday in Salem. Bottom line is this. I put the paper bag over my head to make a statement. To all of you patriots that are afraid to show your face, don't be. Don't be afraid to stand up. You see, you still have rights. The Republic is not gone, folks. The Constitution still stands. And so also does your rights. None of that's been suspended. I don't care what you're hearing from the left. You still have rights. And there are a lot of new federal judges on the bench because of Donald Trump that I think are going to be willing to rule in favor of your rights. And I think that's going to be true all across the country and right here in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and right on up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I say, don't be afraid. You're either going to stand up for what you believe or you're not. That's why we were out there yesterday in front of the Capitol to protest the fact that you can go to the Marion County Courthouse, but you can't go into the Capitol building. Hundreds of people can go into the Marion County Courthouse, literally, but you can't put anybody in the state capitol. It is ridiculous, folks. Just ridiculous. So that's why we were there yesterday. My appreciation and thanks to those of you who came down to join us. And by the way, I was the only one wearing the bag over the head. Okay. Everybody else was willing to be seen. Lots to talk about, including nobody likes hypocrites, right? I mean, we just don't. We don't like hypocrites. So if you've seen on the national scale, you've seen the Steve Ducey of Fox News. His son is Peter Ducey of Fox News. He asked a question of Jen Psaki, who is the spokesperson, the press person for Biden. And he asked her about why Biden signs an executive order and then literally goes with his family hours later to one of the monuments for a party. And they're all seen there with no mask. Biden signs an executive order saying, if you're going to be on federal property, does that mean like driving down the freeway? You got to be wearing a mask. And then goes to federal property and doesn't wear a mask. And when Jen Psaki is asked, if you heard Mark Levin, he played the whole thing. This woman is incoherent. Now, it's nothing new. She was Hillary Clinton's spokesperson. It's Freedom Friday. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Caller, good morning. Who are you and what's on your mind on Freedom Friday?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What's your name?
This is Bill Stacy.
Hi,
and
Bill.
And I was wondering, did you see the crosses when old Sleepy Floyd basement boy was there and the flags?
What are you referring to? Who's Sleepy Floyd basement?
Well, Sleepy Floyd's what I call him, the basement boy.
You mean the president?
The crosses were upside down. Did you see those?
No. Where was that? When was that, Bill?
That was on the stage. They were upside down, and then the flag, there was a different kind of flag was there. And then when Harris got sworn in, it looked like there was something between her hand and the Bible. I wasn't for sure, but it looked weird.
So you're talking about the inauguration. You're saying
yes,
there were crosses that were upside down?
Yes.
Well, I guess I'll have to go back and look, Bill, because I never saw any of that.
Well, they were talking about it last night on the radio.
Crosses upside down. And you're saying what do you mean there was a different kind of flag?
Well, it looked like some flag. A guy asked me, he said, did you notice the flags? And I said, no, but I'm going to try to get a hold of Jeff to see if it was true. The American flag was there and another flag was there. I don't know if that was true or not. I don't know if it was false or not, but I thought maybe you would know more about it. That's why I called in.
Well, okay, so there is a, says, I just
crosses.
Looked this up on the internet. It says, did Biden's Bible have upside down crosses? I'll have to look into that. Bill, look, I'm going to be really honest with you. I chose not to watch any of Biden's inauguration ceremonies, period. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it because I think, like a lot of people, I'm angry, and I am still. And I'm just going to admit this to all of you. Bill, I'm still angry about how...
It's a hoax.
It is. This whole thing has played out. And I'm not alone, obviously. There's millions of Americans, at least 50 million of the people that voted for Trump feel the way I do, and probably you.
Well, I voted for Trump, and I didn't watch it. This guy didn't want to even, he wanted to find out, and I said, I got guts. So what do you want me to ask, Jeff? And he said about the crosses were upside down.
So apparently that's on the I'll take a look at some images because they've come up on the screen. Bill, it's an interesting thing, and I will take a look at it. Bill, thank you. Appreciate you calling.
I'll see you down in 620, Jefferson.
Folks.
I'll see you at Jefferson.
Wonderful. See you then. I look forward to it. Thank you. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
All right, we are back. It's great to have you with us. 622. I'm looking at the American Thinker website, folks, AmericanThinker.com. You know that business of me with a bag on my head yesterday in front of the Capitol? You can see it on my Facebook page if you go to Facebook, find Jeff Krupp. Well, I'm looking at an image of the Statue of Liberty with a bag over her head because the bag is being held up and a zipper across her mouth by Twitter. Ooh. poignant. So I guess I'm not alone. I guess the Statue of Liberty had the bag over her head. All right, the Joe Biden Bible thing. Yes, he in fact was sworn in, his hand on his family Bible. And yes, there are upside down crosses on it. It's just that it wasn't this week in 2021. It was when he was sworn in 2009 as Vice President of the United States. You see, Jill Biden, his wife, was holding both the Bible, the family Bible, both times. The red crosses, or the, the upside down crosses, she was wearing a red dress. That was in 2009. Everybody knows she was wearing an aqua marine dress with, somebody got it right this time, they actually put the crosses right side up this last Wednesday. So, Bill, you're partly right. Yes, in 2009, the crosses were upside down because apparently somebody screwed up. But they got them right this time. So it's both yes and no. Now, truth or fiction says, no, it's not true. And then, of course, they contradict themselves. Joe Biden appeared to hold the Bible so that the crosses were inadvertently inverted. More to the point, whoever made the meme deliberately spliced the 2009 image into Biden's 2021 inauguration, perhaps to ride QAnon's coattails or to related satanic panic style conspiracy theories. So it is untrue that Biden was sworn in this last Wednesday with the crosses on his family Bible being upside down. But he was sworn in 2009 with the crosses being upside down. So there you go. What do you think about that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. It is Freedom Friday. That means you can call and talk about anything you want to talk about today. It doesn't have to be anything on my plate, which could include this new sweeping to-go plastic ban on restaurants. House Bill 2365, the left in Oregon just has this thing about plastic. So what replaces the plastic? Styrofoam. What's worse, styrofoam or plastic? These people are crazy. There's an article that says, what are we marching for? Protesters and observers wonder alike in Portland. This is an Oregonian story. This is the we don't want Biden, we want revenge, we are ungovernable. These are the Antifa people. Oh, by the way, did you see that they got arrested, some of them, when they attacked the federal building? Why didn't Kate come out against the, you know, the thug police of the federal government? Where's Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden? Oh, those are the left's troops, stormtroopers now, aren't they? See, those guys were dressed in camouflage. How come that they're not coming out against that? It's kind of that, and, you know, do as I say, not as I do thing. You know, that's one of the principles that we suggest that you use when you're having conversations with the persuadables. You just go back to common sense, right? You say, so, like my state representative, Marty Wilde, a leftist National Guard lawyer, he's a lawyer, he's in the National Guard, out of Eugene. I'm stuck with the guy, unfortunately. You know, he said we shouldn't deploy the National Guard to help with the riots in downtown Portland because they're not trained for that. And then he was all happy with and trumpeted the fact that the National Guard apparently was trained to go answer the phones at the employment department. How absurd. But now he's all in favor of deploying the Oregon National Guard to the state capitol and then to Washington, D.C. That's why I wrote that little piece. And by the way, you can check out all of our podcasts are up. Well, maybe not all of them, but our podcasts are up. You can check it out. You go to KSLM.news. Check out the podcast page. Anyway, that's why I wrote that piece about National Guard for me, but not for thee. Because of the hypocrisy of people like him or the hypocrisy of people like Ron Wyden, Jeff Merkley, calling the federal officers literally defending the federal courthouse and the ICE facility stormtroopers. Gee, Kate, how come you're not calling them that? Gee, Ron, Jeff, how come you're not calling them that now? Because they did the same thing that Trump did. It's because they're now Joe Biden's stormtroopers, except they won't call them stormtroopers, will they? No. Got an email from Son of the Almighty. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. It is hell. Is there that many fools? This is a link to a story. This is a former FDA commissioner says only a third of the United States population wants to get the coronavirus vaccine. I think referring to the third that wants it. What do you think? Hey, it's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Michael Cross is up next to talk about his effort to uncover voter fraud in Oregon. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. It's Freedom Friday. That means you can call and talk about anything political you want to talk about today. And it's really easy because we've got a lot of extra phone lines now. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC Talk on it. Just saw something on Newsmax about a congressman bringing a gun to the Capitol. Good for him. By the way, there's a story, and we'll get into that if you want to talk about it. Arizona may be the fifth state to declare itself a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Because Joe Biden's president, and you know, he's going to have Bozo Beto O'Rourke come for your guns. That's what he said. Well, we got to stand and fight, folks, because there's a lot at stake. But none of it means anything if you can't trust the vote. Michael Cross joins us right now. He's been looking into potential voter fraud, election fraud, all of that. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am well. And yourself?
Fantastic. All right. So
good.
You ran for attorney general, didn't win, and you got to thinking, yeah, something's not right here. So you've been kind of looking into a whole bunch of things that are just kind of raised red flags. Why don't you explain that to the audience and then how they can help you in your endeavor to try to really figure out what's going on here?
Oh, absolutely. I started looking into this thing, and it's like something does not smell right in Denmark, so to speak. And it's like, you know, and you got to think to yourself, if this is really going on, I mean, who are people upset at? I mean, you know, it's easy to be mad at the criminals, right? Because this is obviously it's a criminal act. But you know what? Criminals are going to do what they do as long as we allow them to do this. And it doesn't matter whether it's stealing your car or stealing your vote. They're going to continue doing that. I mean, So, I mean, one thing that people can do, they want to Google ACS unit number 5. And that's some very interesting stuff that they're going to come up with. And our website is OregonFreedomFoundation.org. That's OregonFreedomFoundation.org. And we have a tab in there for vote fraud. But if they subscribe to our email, I will send them the photograph of what I found in the basement at the Multnomah County Elections Office. And I was shocked. I was shocked. And the director said that what came in that container was a computer. And, you know, I would have to ask, what are computers coming into Multnomah County Elections Office? And they've been very cooperative with me, showing me anything and everything I want to see. So I do want to give them for that. Thank you for that. But I did also notice that down in the basement, there's two garage doors that you could drive a truck into. One of them has a camera on the inside. The other door does not have a camera. And they knew that. Why is that? So you could drive a truck into the Multnomah County Elections Office and unload it, and there's no camera if you so desired to do so. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, our entire state election, this is after my research for the last 2 months, our entire state election hinges on two individuals in Multnomah County certifying that the thumb drive that they insert into the machine has nothing on it and no viruses. And you know what? If we gave half the security efforts that we give to our money, just half, that we would give that to our vote, we would not have this problem in Oregon, Jeff. We would not. Not at all.
So what did you actually, I mean, what are you finding problematic with what you saw in the basement down in Multnomah County elections?
Well, so what I think's going on is this whole vote fraud issue is reliant on the fact that there is a pool of voters that they know are not going to vote, and then they can sway those votes. And the voters I'm talking about is the Motor Voter Program. We've been collecting sworn affidavits of people, you know, certifying vote fraud. We're talking about people that voted when they're in the hospital in a coma, and sworn affidavit was signed by her sister. She's unfortunately since passed away. Things like that. I mean, in my numbers alone, running for attorney general, because you got to realize, this last election cycle, your average Multnomah County voter was not out rioting, demonstrating, whatever you want to call it, at midnight in Portland. They were scared. You know, they were frightened. They couldn't come out of their home, you know, in many cases. We're talking about somebody that was flying an American flag, and you may recall they said, you don't take that down, we're coming back here tomorrow to burn your house down. Your average voter in Multnomah County wanted law and order back. That was our entire platform. And you know what? My numbers were 14% higher than what the Republican nominee 4 years ago got. And that's pretty phenomenal. And then, coupled with that, this is their own numbers. 95,000 new votes for A.G. Rosenblum out of Multnomah County versus 4 years ago. 95,000. That's an increase of 30%. Multnomah County only had an increase in the population of 1.01%. So where did these people come from? I mean, you know, we this is not about me. This is not about somebody winning the election or losing or whatever. We did some polling, and we found that that something's not right. Something's not lining up with the numbers. I believe that there was a red wave, not only in this country, but in Oregon. And the last time Oregon went to a Republican president was Ronald Reagan, which was, 34 years ago or something. And you want to talk about a litmus test for a red wave in America, that would be Oregon. I believe I won my race. I believe Kim Thatcher won her race, and this kind of stuff. And President Trump won Oregon.
So Michael, before you go any further, because I know you have other things you want to share with the audience. I just you You're saying that, that there appears to be more new votes in Multnomah County than there were that new people who came in to the county and registered to vote. So how will you, what are you going to try to do to dive into that to find out how that could be? Because it doesn't seem possible in my mind.
It doesn't seem possible to what?
That Multnomah County could have 90,000 more votes for attorney general in your race than they had 4 years ago, and that there haven't been that many new voters register in Multnomah County. How are you going to get to the bottom of that?
Well, so we can actually overturn if we're Oregon Freedom Foundation is running low on funds. We've got it's like having a Lamborghini in the garage and no gas in the tank. We've got volunteers that'll come in there and sift through envelopes, ballots, whatever we want to do. But this stuff costs money and to get it done. And, you know, I mean, the people need to start looking at who they're giving money to and why. And until that changes, Oregon is not going to change. But we could actually set aside the Oregon election that we just had this last November if we come up with the evidence that we need, and I know what we need, and we're close to getting it, but we need more funds to get this done. And, you know, we need a file by the end of this month, and we can actually set aside this election. Because the fact of the matter is that at 7:52 p.m. on election night, the IT department did a security update. They called it an update into the system that counts the ballots, which is illegal because they need to certify that machine before it counts any ballots. And there is no time in the 8 minutes before they started counting ballots that machine was certified. So all we have to do is prove that, and the entire election is thrown out. So,
folks, we're talking with Michael Cross, Oregon Freedom Foundation. You can check out his website. It's OregonFreedomFoundation.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you can click and you can see how you can contact them, Vote Fraud in Oregon, and how you can donate. So you need funds to be able to just complete the last of that you think is necessary to be able to uncover all of this. Now I would assume that if you get some money and you get that done, to overturn the election, you're going to have to spend some money with lawyers, aren't you, and file a lawsuit or some type?
Well, and that gets expensive, too, and I'm hoping that we're not going to need to do that because we are working with some national organizations to line up some legal help to get that done. So, you know, but again, they're not going to do anything, and we are in the investigative stage. Any good case, you have to build good, solid evidence, and in order to get that, you have to investigate, and that is a stage that we're in. So once we have that smoking gun, then I'm hoping that we're going to have some funds or legal help stepping up to assist in this. You know, it's a big task, but we don't have a choice, right, Jeff? I mean, gee whiz, if you know, candidates like me or Kim Thatcher or Amy Ryan Corsair or Joe Ray Perkins or, you know, Alex Skarlatos. I think Alex Skarlatos won. So I would guess that the Alex Skarlatos financial backers would be very interested in having him win. I mean, in overturning this fraud. You know, we've got to take care of this. This is the foundation of our republic. If we don't take care of this, then we are screwed.
Yep. We'll never trust the results of any election in the future. Michael, we're at just about the end of our time here. OregonFreedomFoundation.org, OregonFreedomFoundation.org to make a donation. Michael, thanks. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Back in a moment at 6:48. It's Freedom Friday. What do you want to talk about? Anything's on the table today, politically.
We are strong. No one can tell us where.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Tim. It is Freedom Friday. That means you can call and talk about anything you want to talk about politically today. And it's really easy because we have five phone lines now. 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. By the way, I want to thank Ticklicker Firearms. Two locations, one in South Commercial here in Salem, right across from Winco, and one in Corvallis, for being one of the sponsors of the Freedom Celebration. Man, you really, folks, if you care about freedom, you should join us. We're going to be honoring the people that keep us free. Law enforcement, fire, military, or the Oregon National Guard, active duty, and certainly our veterans. In fact, we're going to have some interesting stories about freedom and the cost of freedom from some of our veterans. So go to kslm.news and click on the Freedom Celebration to register for this event. It's up at the Ames Ranch. We want to know who's coming, because we need to know how much food. We're going to have incredibly good food there. We've got great music with the 45th Fret live country rock music. And yeah, there'll probably be some dancing even, and that's okay. But most of all, we're going to celebrate freedom. Come together. Would love to meet so many of you that I've talked with over the last couple of years. Would love to meet you in person. It's always a joy when I get to put a face with a name. KSLM.news is $10 per person or $30 for a family of four or more. What a deal. Come and celebrate freedom. January 31st, Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. Go to KSLM.news. And again, thanks to Ticklicker Firearms for being one of our major sponsors. All right, to the phones. We'll go to Tim. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Just want to talk about the National Guard real quick. You were in the National Guard, weren't you?
No, I was deployed as a – well, I was not deployed. I was embedded, that's the proper term, as a broadcaster with the Oregon National Guard in Iraq and then again in Afghanistan.
Well, between my father, my brother, and I, and my son, we've been in the National Guard for over 70 years. So
that's outstanding. That's awesome.
And I was put on active duty. Remember Vortex with Governor McCall? I was put on active duty for that.
So the
National Guard knows about that. Well, I thought what I might do is just point out to your audience that the National Guard makes up of the Army. The Army on active duty is 471,000, Navy 325, Air Force 321, National Guard 336. So they make up almost about half of what the Army is on active duty. So
that's a big chunk.
So yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of anger building over the fact that the Guard was kicked out of the Capitol building and down into the garage unheated with one bathroom. And in fact, there's another story here, Tim, about how Biden removes all of the military flags from the Oval Office. Again, that tells you a lot about his thinking. Tim, thanks for your service and all of your family. I deeply appreciate that. And the Guard is different, folks. Yeah, someday I'll share with you what I learned in my time with the Guard being in combat zones and so forth. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. Your thoughts. Welcome.
On that conversation with the fellow looking into Multnomah County, do you think what year was Packwood and Hatfield sold up in Oregon? Was that in the 80s? I remember they accused Packwood of padding one of the girls somehow, and was that in the 80s?
No, that was in the 90s, because Gordon Smith, Ron Wyden was elected to Packwood's seat after Packwood had to resign, so that would have been in the early 90s, I think it was, and then Gordon Smith lost to Ron Wyden for that, and then he ran 2 years later when Mark Hatfield retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, would the SEIU, would they, in the 80s, during that period of Hatfield and Packwood, would they have been maybe pro-Republican when those people were actually in, because I wasn't in Oregon at that time. Is it possible
when the SEIU... No, generally not. I would say, though, that the SEIU and AFSCME, the government worker unions, had long histories with both Bob Packwood and Mark Hatfield because they were both legislators, and then Hatfield, of course, being governor. So, yeah, they would have had relationships with them, probably gave them money because the government worker unions back then were not as radical as they are today, and that's just the truth of it. So the answer to your question is probably would have given them money. If you go look in the archives, they probably did. It's very different today. It's obvious. Glenn, thanks for your call. Got to go to a new caller. New caller, good morning. You got a couple of minutes. What do you have to say on Freedom Friday?
Hi. I just have a quick question, if I may. I'm Darlene.
Hi, Darlene. And, my mother's name is Darlene, by the way.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I was wanting to know, and this applies to other things that you do on your program, too. I'm a regular listener.
Thank you.
I listen almost every day, and I don't have email or any of that capability, either with a smartphone or any other way. And you always give email addresses to contact, and I can't contact when I want to. But my big question today is I would like to donate to Michael Cross, and could I please have a phone number for him?
Let me I'm laughing because I've got to bring his website back up to see if there is a phone number there that you could call him at. Let's go back there, Jeff. I don't know why I do that sometimes. Contact us. Yes, there is a number. Let me give it to you.
Okay.
It is
971-301-6261. Okay, I appreciate that so very much.
Hey,
thank you. And I really just love your program.
Thank you. I'm honored to have you in the audience. Let's go to another new caller. New caller, what do you have to say quickly on Freedom Friday? Welcome. Hey, who's this? Hey, are you there? Good morning. You're on. Good morning. Are you on the air? This is Jeff. You're live.
Not me, is it?
Yeah, it's you. Go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm not a new caller, but this is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
And,
okay.
Hi, buddy. I think as I listen to the national radio shows, one common thread is we're all complaining about what's happening now. We need to change our mindset to complaining about what's going on and move into what we're going to do about it. As you mentioned a little bit earlier today, if we can't get the vote fixed, nothing's going to work. One of the things
Nick, if you can hang on through the top of the hour break, I'd like to get more of your comments. Back with Nick. One more hour to go. 6:59.